Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
And welcome into the playbook for a Wednesday here on Patriots.com Radio. John Rook here with PFW's Eric Scalavino. We are in, of course, the bye week. We are 9 weeks into the season. This is week 10. The Patriots have the week off, which means it's time to kind of sit back, reflect, review, figure out where we are and where this team might be able to go from here. This being said, as promised yesterday, today we're going to do our own review. And I'm very interested to know how you feel this team stacks up after 9 weeks. Is this team a championship contender? Is this team close to being a championship contender? Or is this team not a championship contender yet? I want you to take every comment that you might have today about your grades for this particular team, and we'll go through offense, we'll go through defense, we'll go through special teams, we'll go through coaching. But what I want you to do is I want you to put the Patriots in one of three categories. Contender, possible contender, not yet a contender. So couch all of your responses today with those three things in mind. And I'm talking about just this season. I'm not looking next year down the line or what they should have been a year ago. I'm not looking at any of that.
All that matters is now.
All that matters is 2013 plus the 2014 playoffs. Should the Patriots be fortunate enough, of course, to get there. Because as Bill Belichick did say this week, hey, nobody ever got to the playoffs with 7 wins. Unless, of course, you're in the NFC West a few years ago. Then you did that. But I think we all realize...
Or in strike-shortened season.
Yes. You're not gonna get into the playoffs this year with 7 wins.
Yeah.
And he is accurate about that. So that's, again, contender, not yet a contender. What was the other one I just said?
Contender, possible contender, or not yet a contender.
Yeah, right. There's three different categories. Yeah. Okay, so whichever one you think they fall into, I'm listing these things out. I don't even remember what the hell I said. Short attention span today. I got 85 million things rumbling around inside this knucklehead that I have. ask my girlfriend. She'll tell you. Yeah, it's a knucklehead,
really?
All right. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. I brought cranberry bread day today, though, to sort of appease the natives. Fred took off with it.
I thought it was Fred's to take.
She said it was for anybody. She, you know, tell Fred to share.
Oh.
You guys just let him go with it, and you pissed Kevin off.
I thought you said it was Fred's, because remember she said she was going to bake one just for him?
Yes, she did, but she told me to say that this is for everybody, you know, in the control room today.
Ah, that's okay.
In the studio
today.
We're
being magnanimous.
Well, but now Fred has his, so I'll bring another one in for everybody else. And I'm a little upset, because today is our boy Kevin's birthday.
Yes, he just walks off with my cranberry bread.
I know. Happy birthday, Kev.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
How old are you today?
I'm 28 years old.
Oh, my goodness. I have socks that are 28.
That probably have more hair than I do, too.
Yeah, they do. Congratulations and happy birthday, Mr. Kev.
Appreciate
Anybody
it.
have birthday greetings for our esteemed producer, Kevin Collins? By all means, send them along today.
What are you going to do for your birthday?
Going to go watch the Revs play tonight.
Yeah.
Going to the Banshee.
Aggregate against Sporting KC.
They got to get a tie tonight. All they
need
is a tie. All they need is a tie.
Yeah,
nil-nil would
nil-nil.
Be just fine.
There's like a there's a viewing
like
party,
scoring, though,
I guess, set up. Yeah. An out-of-town viewing party set up at the Banshee, which is a big soccer bar in Dorchester.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of my buddies were like, oh, let's go get drunk at an Irish bar and watch soccer.
Watch soccer. Hey, what the hell?
Hey, tomorrow's like game show idea. Thursday, isn't it?
That's right.
So yeah, you better not be hungover for
game
show.
Yeah, don't be hungover for game show Thursday, right?
I won't know where I am, but that's okay.
All right, so this is where we are with today, and we do want your input. Webradio@patriots.com, the email address, toll-free telephone number 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, or... the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. On social media, Twitter is @JRBroadcaster. Facebook is John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E. So there's a lot of different ways that you can participate on the program today. What I want you to do, first of all, again, is couch everything by saying they're definitely a contender. They might be a contender. They're not a contender. Okay, that's what we're looking for. Yes, they are. They might be. No, they're not. And then give us your grades. And feel free to really, whatever position or grouping you feel comfortable with. If you feel like breaking it all down, this is where we're going to look at over the next course of the next couple of hours here. We're going to look at offensive line, offensive backs and receivers, and quarterback. All right? Three different I think I'm going to couch that just a little bit. Again, seems to be the word of the day, couch. It's where I need to be right now. Offensive line, let's go with quarterback and running backs and wide receivers. Three categories, wide receivers, tight ends. So receivers, backs, line. Okay, that's what we'll go with on the offense. For defense, we're going to go with line, linebackers, and defensive backs, secondary. Yeah. Okay.
So three levels in each.
Three levels on each side of the field, right? On each side of the field. Plus we'll go special teams a grade and coaching.
Okay.
So that's eight different grades that we're going to issue. Wow. Now I'm actually going to try to keep some kind of a rough count from everybody who participates on the show today. And by the end of the show, we hope to have a consensus Patriot playbook grade.
We'll write them all down as we get them.
Yeah, we're going to. We'll write them all down. We'll average them out. And we'll try to come up with a playbook grade, for the New England Patriots at 7-2, week 10, their bye week, ostensibly the midway portion of the season. So that's how we're going to play. You can give a grade to any position you like. You can leave some out if you like. It really doesn't matter. You don't have to give us all eight grades, or you can give us all eight grades. The only thing that I ask you to do, again, is to say contender, not yet a contender, won't be a contender. And this is why. Give your grades. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
Okay.
I just finished writing my whole commentary. I didn't give grades, but I wrote it on the whole idea of whether or not they're a contender. Just finished the commentary this morning for the next issue coming out next week, the bye week issue.
Well, I don't want you to give away too much.
No, I won't. But I'm just saying that it's timely that we're bringing this up today, because it's fresh in my mind because I just wrote about it.
It's time to start looking at it like this, because anytime you get past the halfway point of the season, and you know we've talked about this even in the first half, it's time to start taking stock of who you are, because usually by this time of the year, you know what you got.
Yes.
And you know who you are.
Yeah.
This is the 2013 New England Patriots. This is what we have to live with this year. It may not. I think the next four games
will kind of be more of a determining factor of who they are.
Okay, that's fair because of who they're playing.
Who they're playing, and also because it takes you half a season to get into some sort of shape.
Plus, you also have to realize that we may have this offense as healthy as it has been all year.
Possibly.
Coming up maybe by Carolina.
Possibly. Yeah, so I think the next three, four games are going to be more of a barometer of where this team might be headed. But you have to already start thinking about playoff seeding. They've played enough games that you can start looking at that. And right now, John.
No doubt.
The Patriots are the second seed in the AFC.
That is correct.
Believe it or not, with the third best record, they have the second seed.
Because Denver is in the same division as Kansas City.
And you can only get a bye if you're a division winner.
That is correct.
So
Kansas City would hold the bye. Denver would be, believe it or not, the 5 seed with one loss. Yes, that's correct.
They wouldn't be the 3 seed?
No. No.
Who would be?
The other two division winners.
Oh, duh. Sorry. Brain cramp there. Good God.
The division winners get the top four seeds.
I should know
then
that.
Then your wild cards are the two best teams, second place teams with the best records.
Yeah. I keep forgetting about
Denver.
Yeah, sorry.
One of those teams,
that
Denver
was idiotic.
One of those teams, Denver or Kansas City, is going to have a very good record, and yet they're going to be no better than a 5 seed.
Isn't that nuts?
It is nuts.
They play each other
twice. They still got to play each other
in the next month.
In the next month, that's correct. They play each other relatively quickly, both times. So we'll know more by December 1. That's for sure.
Yeah,
we'll definitely know more by the first.
It'll be a little bit. It possibly could be clearer, or it could be murkier because, you know, what if they split those games?
Well, the important thing to note is right now
that New England and Denver and KC all have the same record. Then
at 7-2, the Patriots currently hold the 2 seed. Kansas City 1, the Patriots are 2.
So that game in the 24th here
against Denver
could
is
be
big.
Huge.
Oh, absolutely, because it could be a huge tiebreaker if it comes down to home field advantage.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And the Patriots will probably need to approach it like that, and I'm sure that will be discussed at some point. Clearly, though, they've got another game to play before they get there, and so, you know, you'll hear them say and do all of the right things. But I think we as fans and those in the media can look forward to say, ooh, that could easily be a candidate for game of the year in the AFC.
Mm.
Easily. That's just the way it breaks down.
Yeah.
All right.
And we thought it might be anyway, just because of...
Well,
because
it's Peyton Manning and Tom Brady.
Yeah, and Welker over there.
Welker coming back, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
But now it's taken on even more significance.
Well,
especially now John Fox's situation.
Yeah.
Jack Del Rio taking over there. That adds a whole different dynamic to it. That's part of what my commentary was about. Just a sneak little peek. A friend of mine texted me after the Pittsburgh game.
Mm-hmm.
And this was after Fox had been... The news broke about Fox's heart surgery and Kubiak collapsing.
And having a pseudo stroke?
Yeah.
Is how they described it now?
Well,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm hearing the word stroke tossed about, but I don't know whether or not that's accurate or whatever. But yeah, a friend of mine texted me and said, did Bill re-sign with the devil? Because all these things are happening for the Patriots. You know, all these teams are getting in, like the Patriots are getting injured too, but they're winning games. All these other teams, they're collapsing. The Miami situation that we talked about in the other show with Martin and Incognito,
mm-hmm.
The Bills not having a quarterback, the Baltimore, the defending Super Bowl champs, don't look like anything but super. Pittsburgh collapsing, Houston imploding. I mean, with everything bad that's happened to New England this year, going all the way back to the Hernandez situation, they're the 2 seed right now. Can you believe that?
Pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing.
I mean, when we did our breakdown at the beginning of the year, when we went game by game, we weren't expecting the Steelers to suck, the Ravens to suck, the Texans to suck.
No.
You know, Denver to have, they don't suck, obviously, but they're having, you know, their issues with the coach, and who knows how that's going to affect them.
Right.
Whatever. I mean, all these things, who would have expected all that?
Not I, but this is why, you know, we said it, you've got to get into at least the halfway point of the season before you realize what kind of a team you have.
Mm.
You know, everybody was saying, and a lot of fans, and you know, for whatever reason, killing us for underscoring and underselling the Patriots at the beginning of the year. I don't think even you or I expected the kind of injuries to take place that have taken place, and yet the Patriots have managed to scuffle through with a 7-2 record.
I mean,
the injuries.
We probably should have.
Well, I couched my record at 10-6 and thought I was adding injuries into the equation. I said injuries are always going to be a factor. And now the Patriots have played well enough through the injuries to where I thought, well, maybe they can do a game better than that, and I upped my prediction to 11-5. I'm still going to hold at 11-5, although, to finish 4-3 the rest of the way, I have to admit that'd be disappointing. That'd be disappointing.
I could see they're losing to Carolina on the road on a Monday night. That's a tough matchup.
Yeah,
I
but
think.
You know they got 2 weeks to prepare for this game.
Well, actually, they really only have one.
Well,
they took the whole week off.
Understood, but at the same time, though, they usually do have a pretty good track record coming off of bye weeks.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's not going to be a stunner to me if they lose to Carolina. Certainly not going to be a stunner if Peyton Manning and Welker come in here and put up 50 points on them. That's not going to stun me. I could see 2 back-to-back losses easily. That means they would have one more loss for the rest of the season. I wouldn't be stunned with a 4-3 for the rest of the season. Not at all.
Interesting.
Although the way things are going, they're probably only going to lose 1 or 2.
I'm not sure 11-5 gets them the 2 seed either.
Well, AFC South. Who's going to win that? Indianapolis?
Indianapolis is what, 6-3? Okay. And Cincinnati is 6-3 in the North.
Right.
So they're your other 2 division leaders, right?
Yeah. 11-5 could easily win the 2 seed.
Hmm. I'd have to look. I'd have to examine their schedules.
Because the one is going to be tougher, I think, because either KC or Denver, whoever wins that battle of attrition in the next month in that division, will probably be the one, I would think.
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And I think New England's best chance is to fight for the 2 seed, which is still a bye, and you know anything can happen. The 1 seed could lose in the divisional round, and
absolutely,
you could be hosting the AFC championship.
You still
all
could
of a sudden
be. Yeah, you could be.
But I think it's realistic to shoot for the two seed.
As it stands.
As it stands right now.
Right now, sure.
But, and I wrote this in my column too, momentum can change at any minute. As we saw in the Pittsburgh game. New England had that game in control. All of a sudden, the third quarter came. Bada-boom. Before you knew it, it was 24-24.
Right.
Things can move very quickly in sports and in the game of football. So while New England is heading into the bye on a high note, 7-2, most points they've scored in a long time, just keep in mind things can change in the other direction just as quickly.
All right. To the phones, 855-PATS-500, webradio at patriots.com, the email address at JRBroadcaster, Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. We want your grades assessments. Three on offense, three on defense, line, backs, and receivers, and
coaching, special teams.
Well, coaching, special teams, yes, but on the offense. Offensive line, backs and receivers, and quarterback.
I thought you were saying the backfield, which includes the quarterback.
Oh, okay,
and then
you're right. On offense, you're right. It's the backfield.
Receivers,
line,
tight ends, and the backfield.
Backfield,
including
yes.
the quarterback.
Yes, right, including the quarterback, and then, yes. All right, so there you go. And then receivers, tight ends.
Yeah,
receivers/tight ends on offense. And then D-line, linebackers, secondary.
Coaching and special teams,
which would include the kicking game. Feel free to issue a grade. A letter grade, if you will, for any one or the other, and we'll try to we'll compile all of this today, and we'll give an official playbook grade. Now, let me start before I get to the phone real quickly. Let's start on the offense, because the offense is where I think we've seen the struggles this year and where we could definitely see the most improvement in the second half of the year if, of course, these injured players come back and continue pushing forward. We expect that Shane Vereen to be available to play, for instance, on the Monday night game against Carolina the next time out. We've seen Gronkowski now back for 3-4 weeks. We've seen Stephen Ridley get some more confidence, even though he fumbled the ball this last week. Danny Amendola is back. So things seem to be in shape here. Let's start with the offensive line as a grade before we do this.
Okay.
Overall, your thoughts on the Patriot offensive line. I have been critical of the offensive line because I thought that they had been whipped at the line of scrimmage by a couple of teams this year.
Yeah.
One, the Jets, twice, and two, the Cincinnati Bengals, I thought also out-physical them as well in the trenches.
Yeah, they've given up some sacks this year. They've been inconsistent run blocking. I'm going to be generous and give them a B-.
Well, see, I'm not even going to go that far. I'm going to go C minus. And the reason I'm going to go C minus in this particular instance, I'd probably just say, well, let's go C. But I think I'm going to go C minus only because I expected more. And I don't think that Logan Mankins is having what I would consider a typical Logan Mankins type of season. I don't think Ryan Wendell has had a strong season at all. In fact, he's been beaten
a couple
of times at the point of attack by several of his opponents.
Yes, he has.
And when you throw in the fact that, Sebastian Vollmer is out for the year with an injury, and again, that's really through no fault of his own.
No.
He was healthy and had played every snap prior to the injury, so it's really hard to kick him for this, but the fact remains is that you're down a man, your depth is down, and so that kind of slides me from a C to about a C minus just because now they're thinner than ever and there's not a whole lot of wiggle room here if somebody else goes down.
Yeah.
So I'm going C minus and I think I'm being generous. They're just a hair away from having a poor offensive line performance, especially when you consider how many times Tom Brady has been hit and how many times he has been sacked over the last 4 weeks, which I believe the number is, what was it, was 13 over 4. So I believe that's now, 15 over 5 weeks? 15 sacks, 16 sacks over 5 weeks?
Okay.
So we're looking at 3 a week. That's not satisfactory. In fact, that's enough to get your QB killed. Can't happen anymore. Cannot happen anymore. So C minus.
I could be talked into a C+, but I was being generous. That's why I gave them the B-.
You gave them the B-?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, fair enough. What are your grades? That's what we want to know. 855-PATS-500. Let's go to Steve and
Killeen.
They're
certainly closer to a C than a B.
Yeah, I would definitely think so. Steve and Killeen, you're in the playbook.
Hey, John. Hopefully I'm not the Patriots whisperer. You guys can actually hear me. But
Jack him up there, Kev. There we go.
I want to digress for just a moment since the 11th. You guys won't be on the air, and just take a quick time out based on where I live.
Yep.
To say thank you to all the current and former military folks who do the job that they do.
Absolutely.
Very good.
Yep. Godspeed and God bless.
Absolutely. 100% behind you.
Seconded.
And now on to the grade. I'm going to kind of split it between you and Eric there and go with the C, given K kind of the Seabass injury not being, you know, caused by him. But looking at the way Brady has basically been smacked around the first few games of the season, and again, the inconsistencies that have led to things like not being able to convert third downs this past week. You know, we're on the one and we can't convert. You know, that's all an issue of the line not getting the push. And that grade would probably be translated to the defensive side of the ball as well. We just haven't been able to exert a will at the line of attack, at the point of attack by the line at all.
Not consistently, no.
Okay.
No. So that's kind of where I'd go with the line, with the solid C. And again, you know, taking into account injuries of key people on both sides of the
all
ball.
All right. How about the offensive backfield?
Offensive backfield, I'd probably grade a little bit higher. They'd be about a B to a B minus. And that's just given the fact that our boy is finally getting the ball, and Ridley's actually proving that, one, he can hold on to it, and two, he can get the yards and actually make that effort.
Mm.
And then, again, with Marine coming back, I would tend to skew that a little bit more upscale than down.
Okay.
I'll give him a B+, John.
You're going to go B+?
For the backfield, because I don't think Brady's – remember, the quarterback is included in that grade,
yes.
Steve.
Yes.
Okay.
And so I have to include Brady, who has had a subpar – for him, a subpar Brady year. I'm going to go with a straight B for the backfield.
That's exactly why I'm going B-. I'm going to give the backs the benefit of the doubt, because I think that when he's been in there and had the ball enough, Ridley has played pretty well.
Yeah.
Fumbles notwithstanding. I really don't have any problem with the way LeGarrette Blount has played either. He is what he is. He's been a pretty good change of pace.
Yep.
Certainly liked what I saw from Shane Vereen before he got hurt, and anticipating better production out of, with his position. Disappointed that Leon Washington hasn't been able to contribute here. James Devlin has been effective when he's been in there.
Absolutely.
As a blocking back. So I'm going to, you know, even though Brady has been probably C-, I think the backs have largely been a B. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go B- overall.
Okay, I'm going B overall.
And I can agree with John's assessment there with no problem whatsoever. Given the fact that, you know, this past game is the only game that I really felt that Brady played to expectation.
Okay, how about wide receivers, tight ends, Steve?
That one's tough, John. Just given kind of how everything started. Where, you know, now we're kind of back to that two tight end template that we started with. And it's starting to work now that we have Amendola back, we've got Gronk back. But I'd probably look at giving those guys overall, just given experience and seeing the progression. I'd be generous with a B-.
Okay.
You know, AD coming up, Kimberl Tompkins, those guys actually, you know, showing that level of maturity and improving over time, getting a better handle on the ball. And then, you know, Gronk making his improvements, Amendola being, you know, more than welcome when he's actually in at last to have him. And that's kind of the other part of the equation, where when he's not available, you know, that's detrimental to the team. So kind of the whole Seabass thing. If you're injured, I understand the injury, but
it also
has a detrimental effect overall.
Right. What do you think, Eric?
I'm going to go – I agree it's tough because of Gronk not being being available for all that time. But when he's been in there, it's been a factor, and the young guys and the turnover. I'm going to grade a little bit on a curve and give them a B-, which is probably a little bit more generous than I probably should be. But overall, I think all those things considered – they certainly could do better, but they could have also done a lot worse.
See, here, my thinking here is that we've expected more. We expected way more out of this receiving core in particular, even though we knew going into the year that, you know, well, they've got some real inexperience there, but while these guys sure look good in training camp, and I think we all realize that training camp is a completely different beast than what it is, you know, the regular season has turned out to be. Because you can't really do anything about Gronk being out. He, for whatever reason and however long it kept him out of the lineup, his injury has been a significant factor. I'd almost tend to put an incomplete grade more than anything else on the wide receivers and tight ends, because I still think that the receivers are a work in progress and they're continuing to progress.
Yeah.
While the tight ends, I just don't think there's enough of a return to give a grade until we see a little bit more. But because that's not what we're supposed to do here, we're going to give a grade. I'm going right down the middle of the pile. I'm giving a C. Just because, frankly, I don't see anything great yet. I don't even really see anything good yet, with the one exception of the last game that Rob Gronkowski had. That was a Gronk game, but we're also 9 weeks into the season. So, you know, is he completely healthy? Is this going to be the norm? Is that going to be the exception? I don't know where we are yet. So, in other words, we don't have a long enough period to where we can really judge to know what the norm is going to be. Because of that, I'm kind of splitting it right down the middle. I'm going with a C.
And in Amendola's case, we don't know if he's going to be in every other game.
That's also true. That's also true. That's also very true.
I understand, you know, playing it close to your vest on that one, John.
All right. How about D-line then? You want to try the defense, Steve?
Yeah, well, I put the line both at a C.
Okay.
And, you know, again, taking into account the losses on that side of the ball especially, I think that's fair. Again, I think they're, as you said, John, with the wide receivers right now, they're a work in progress because they've continued. I don't think they've had a week where they haven't had some piece of the puzzle not there that they've been trying to cobble together. Well, who's going to, you know, be the next man up? And losing Vince in the middle, of course, was huge, and you just don't replace a guy like that easily, if at all.
Right.
And we're seeing that.
What do you think, Eric? What do you think?
I think they've made some good adjustments.
I'm going to be honest here. I'm going to tend to grade the D-line a little higher.
Yeah, because I think they've
adjusted well.
They've adjusted very well, even though
they have lost significantly.
I totally agree with that. And I'm surprised by the contributions of the rookies.
Yes.
The fact that they traded for a guy like Sopoaga.
Yep.
That they've been creative with putting three defensive ends on the field, sometimes three defensive tackles on the field at the same time.
And they've still maintained a pass rush.
They've had a little bit of a vulnerability against the run, but they have gotten a pass rush, which is
pleasantly surprising. Yeah.
So I'm going to give them an A-, despite all of the the loss of Wilfork being and Kelly mm-hmm. being your two starters at the start of the season. I think they've done well to overcome that. I'm going to say A-.
I can see why you would give that. I'm going to couch that just a little bit. Again, word of the day. Only because of the significant injury losses with the Wilfork and Kelly, I'm going B-plus on the defensive line.
So I noticed a trend here. We're about a half a grade off from each other.
Yeah, I tend to be a little bit more difficult grader. Ask my students about that, by the way.
I'm glad I didn't take any of your classes.
Hey, my kids, though, when they make an A, they earn the A. That's all I can give you. All right, Steve, linebackers.
Linebackers. Overall, I would probably have to go with probably about a B, just given, again, the adjustments that have had to be made going forward.
Okay.
And in fairness, John, like you, I tend to, you know, grade a little bit more harshly based on expectation and what this team brings as far as the structure. You know, I know you can't just get a guy off the street and say, okay, boom, here's your assignment. I understand that. And I think, by and large, you know, the Patriot Nation gets that. But around week 4 to 5, we were expecting, okay, when does that switch get thrown? And we actually see and know that these guys, as far as the line, can kind of exert the will, control the pace of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, looking at the score that has happened against our defense, the 31 points this week has been the highest. So, you know, maybe I could adjust that initial grade and come back a little bit, given the fact that, you know, it's basically a whole new staff and crew, especially with the loss of the leadership of Wilfork.
Okay. Well, Eric, how about linebackers?
I've not been impressed with Dante Hightower's year 2 jump. It's been more of a hopscotch.
Hmm.
You know, understandably, you lose a guy like Mayo. It's significant, but I don't think it's insurmountable, as I've argued on this show before. I think you can get anybody to plug in there and make tackles 5 to 8 yards downfield and get 100 of those a year. I don't think that's a big loss that they need to worry about. I like that Dane Fletcher is getting a little bit more playing time. We saw him make a play the other day. Not a big Brandon Spikes guy. Don't think he offers much. So this is going to be my toughest grade, I think, so far. I'm going to give linebackers a C.
Okay.
Haven't seen much from Jamie Collins. I mean, he's had a few flashes, yeah. but he hasn't had many opportunities.
Yeah.
So he's
yeah.
a little bit of an incomplete. I'm going to give them a C.
I'm going C also for the linebackers. I don't think there's anything extraordinary there. They've had some good moments. They've also had some weak moments. Obviously, the losing Mayo hurts. I'm still going to give Hightower the benefit of the doubt. I thought I saw a better job, certainly, in coverage for him this last week against Pittsburgh. But, again, it's still a work in progress. So I think it's been just sort of here, there, and everywhere, and not a whole lot to really, you know, hang your hat on. So I would say an average performance at best. All right, I'll give you a chance now to do the secondary, Steve. What do you think?
Secondary, again, is tough, John. I mean, it's kind of like the linebackers. You know, some great play heads up by McCourty, and yet, you know, Kat, I think, or Robin brought it up in yesterday's call that we're just not being aggressive enough as far as trying to control what the wideouts or receivers are doing.
Yeah, that was Kat in Chicago. She said that. It was a good point.
And again, you know, the argument there I think everybody understands is, you know, the NFL has basically kind of put the kibosh on the head hunting
yeah.
up days that we used to see where...
Yep, they did.
Know,
they did.
And having played the DB assassin position as a cornerback in high school, you know, I understand it mm-hmm. from both sides of the coin. And, you know, I like to put the lick on somebody that takes away their will to play.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's what we were taught. The catch there, though, is I think it tends to make us play more of a soft zone and opens up our secondary to be exposed on some big plays, you know.
All right, stick a letter on it then.
I'm going to go with a B minus, in part to be kind, just based on
a what minus? Say that again.
B minus.
B minus. Okay.
B minus on that, John. Just given the fact that, you know, there's been the amazing play by McCourty,
mm-hmm.
and you know, some of the interceptions that have happened that were unexpected.
That was an amazing play by McCourty yeah. and Marquise Cole. There's mm-hmm. no question about
yeah.
that. That's definitely one for the highlight reel, without a doubt. All right, Big E, you get a chance here.
I think I like the development of Gregory and McCourty a year in together at safety. I like Tlaib and what he's been able to bring. You know, Arrington has been inconsistent. Dennard has been somewhat inconsistent, but still pretty steady. Cole has had his moments. Logan Ryan has come on a little bit. Overall, I think they've made improvements in the secondary. They've made some strides. I'm going to give them a B.
Wow. I'm a little surprised at your grades. I have to admit, I think that this secondary overall, if Aqib Tlaib had been healthy and playing the last few weeks, I think this secondary probably had a chance to rate an A grade. Only because he clearly brings the level of play up by everybody. In other words, the last couple of shows that we've had, people have complained, fans have complained about Kyle Arrington. Oh, he's terrible. Oh, he's awful. Well, he was great the early part of the year when he was in a nickel role. So he's doing things now that they didn't really expect him to do because he's been forced into doing it mm-hmm. with the injury situation.
Yeah.
So with Tlaib, this could be an A-minus secondary. Without him, I'm going C+. And that's the overall grade that I'm going, C+, because frankly, I don't really see, they've had some great plays, but they've also been toasted a couple of times. So I got again, I kind of split it a little bit down the middle and go with the average grade, but I give them the plus only because I've seen some outstanding individual efforts. All right, before we run out of time here, Steve, so we can get some others in here very quickly, kicking game or special teams and coaching.
Special teams, John, and by and large, they've been kind of non-existent as far as, you know, what we've seen. You know, there hasn't been any real breakout plays. It's been kind of the situational, you know, we'll take the ball on the 20, which is okay, or we'll do something silly like walk it out and down it inside the 10, but I won't go there because it's not Nitpick Tuesday. As
yeah.
far as coaching, there have been some, by and large, you know, a few things that I kind of scratch my head on, but overall, you know, I'd have to go probably with B+, A- for the coaches and for the special teams, because they're non-existent, I have to go with an incomplete there. I really haven't seen anything other than the kicking game on you know point afters and kickoffs.
Dude, I got a bone to pick with you there. How about 17 field goals in a row by Steven Gostkowski?
Gostkowski was what I hadn't put in that equation, John. So, you know, but overall, you know, I. If I have to go with the grade, I'd probably look at a solid B overall.
All All right.
For that, because there have been some things that I just didn't understand. And, you know, when you're on the goal line and you know, it's basically run a quarterback sneak and you've got 7 points and you don't do it, I don't get that one, Bill.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other ball of wax there. You can put that one on coaching if you want to. Eric, what do you think about special teams?
I think Gostkowski has played at an A level.
Yep.
I think kick returns have been at a D level. The rookie punter has been okay, C to B range, and Julian Edelman's kick punt returns have been solid as usual, B to A range for him. So combine all those, and I think you're looking at a C plus, B minus. I'm going to lean towards B minus.
Wow. Well, Steven Gostkowski does it all for me. I mean, and Ryan Allen, even punting the ball, I think has had a pretty good year for a rookie. But when you make 17 in a row and most in a good solid 40 to 50% of your kickoffs are being kicked through the back of the end zone, I understand where you guys are coming from with your kick return game. But I'm not sure. I think that's a little overrated. Because this team and most teams show that they can score from just about anywhere on the field. Maybe it's a little easier, obviously, if you're, you know, on the plus side of the 30 yard line, which we really haven't seen with this team. But as far as special teams are concerned, just because they've got the leg of Gostkowski to rely upon, I'm going in with an A. Going to rate him an A. Coaching, Eric.
The defensive coordinator has done a great job. I've talked about making adjustments and being flexible. I really like what I'm seeing there. Offensively, I know people like to, you know, pick on Josh for his play calling, but I think he's made the most with what he's had. And they've found ways to win games, scoring just enough points at times. You know, that's been inconsistent, but they've had a lot more to deal with on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And Bill has been, you know, typical Bill this year. So I'll say A minus for coaching.
I'm going with B plus, kind of like you, Steve, only because with all the injuries, they managed to win. That's the bottom line. You can say what you want to about the play calls. Some of them are pretty ridiculous. And I saw a defensive play call this last game as well on that 3rd and 29. I don't know what the hell they had, you know, called in that particular game against Pittsburgh this last week.
Well, it would have been stopped if Daron Harmon hadn't whiffed on an open field tackle.
I realize that. But
they were playing a prevent,
but they were way too deep on the prevent, Eric. Way too deep.
Right. And
no way that they should have even sniffed the first down.
They still should have had it stuffed. Harmon's whiff was egregious.
Even so, they're 7-2 with all the injuries. So you got to say that that's A minus B plus work, and I'm going to go with the B plus. Steve, you the man. Thanks for playing with us here today, man.
Hey, no problem, John. One other thing, real quick.
Yeah.
Based on the Thanksgiving holiday coming up.
Yes.
I know you know about this, but how about introducing the rest of the crew to some fried turkeys?
I would love to.
I'm going to try and make that happen, brother.
Wow.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate all you do. Have a great show.
You're the man. You are the man. That's our boy, Steve and Colleen. That would be spectacular if that ever happened. Jefferson in Salt Lake City. How we doing, Jefferson?
Doing wonderful, boys. How we doing?
So how was the trip? We got to ask.
Oh, it was fantastic, John. I got to come over and shake your hand, which was a pleasure. Yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, it was short and sweet. Took the red eye out on Friday, got in at like 11 a.m. on Saturday, got some sleep, and then went to the game and then came right back home. But, yeah, it was fantastic, man. Watching one of the greatest interceptions I've ever seen live was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool to see us come back, you know, from 17-3 down at half and take that game. That was something else. I'll tell you, though, the first half of that game, I was looking up to the sky saying, really, God, you're going to let Tom Brady throw for 12 yards on the first time that I've ever been to a game in my life in the first half of a football game? Yeah, I felt pretty bad for myself for a little bit, but it ultimately was an incredible trip. Great fans, you know. I mean, it was a lot of fun, man. Just a lot of fun.
Glad that your maiden voyage was a positive one, and you got a win out of it after all.
How'd you get to shake Rook's hand?
He came up and introduced himself before the game was on.
Where?
Yeah. When I was right there down in the announcement, he came up to the window.
Oh, really?
And introduced himself. Hey, it's Jefferson from Salt Lake.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, man. Oh, and John, I'm digging your glasses, man. Those things are stylish.
He's got them on right now.
Love those things, man.
The lights are off, though, at the moment.
That's right. But yeah, one thing that I want to say real quick before I, you know, get off, you know, I understand the whole grading process, but guys, we have lost so many potent offensive weapons. I mean, think about, you know, the loss of Hernandez, the loss of Welker. You know, I mean, we've pretty much revamped our entire offensive strategy and offensive weapons. And to look at the fact that we're 7-2, how do you not grade that as, you know, a B-plus or an A-minus overall? I mean, that's insane. I mean, on everything that we're doing, I mean, it's absolutely astounding the job that we're doing and getting the job done when ultimately the only thing that matters is wins. You know, and all the just, I mean, does anybody else feel like we're playing roulette every single week? Like, who's going to be out for the season this week? You know, who's next up to, you know, be on the injured reserve list?
But Jefferson, I feel that way with every team in the league. The Patriots aren't doing this in a vacuum. All the other teams are suffering devastating injuries too.
Yeah, but how many teams are 7-2?
No, you're right. I mean, the Patriots are winning the games as despite all of that adversity, but it could catch up to them sooner or later too.
Absolutely. But at this point in time, also, I mean, can you name many teams out there that have seen as much of an offensive retool as the New England Patriots? I mean, aside from, you know, obviously having Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, you're always going to have a chance to win. But I mean, what we've had to deal with, we've only had Gronk really back 100% or what looked like 100% for 1 week. And to come out of those games, you know, I mean, in both games that we lost, legitimate opportunities to win. I mean, we pretty much, you know, it's just, you know, one of the things, I've heard the mentality of, you know, country club fans and we're spoiled in the fact that, you know, we've won so much in the past, but 7-2 with all the adversity that we've faced this year, I mean, you got to admit, the injury, you know, problems that we face this year have been a little bit more than we've had to deal with in the past. I mean, aside from, you know, 2008. But, you know, I am absolutely blown away at how we've produced and how we've, you know, how we've performed on the field. And the coaching to me has been outstanding. Granted, you know, like John said, you've got a couple play calls. It's like, what are you doing? Honest to God, that 3rd and 30 that they converted on the 4th down. I literally was grinding my teeth before that play even called because it seems to me whenever we get them in that 3rd and long situation, that's when we seem to kind of turn our backs and decide to kick up on that type of defense. But aside from that, I mean, just the fact that we're winning these games, the fact that we're doing it with a patchwork defensive line. We're doing it with, you know, without Aqib Talib and seeing these younger guys start to come in and make plays as well in the secondary. We're starting to get pressure on the quarterback. We've started to see, you know, strides in, you know, in a defense that has been one of the worst defenses in the league the last few years. It's incredibly encouraging, and I can't look at it without anything but the strictest of admiration for the job that we've done.
Well said. I think that's very, very well said. You want to offer up any grades for this?
You know, man, I would say A-minus total. You know, it's hard for me to grade anybody individually because it's such, I mean, it's such an interwoven team sport. You know, I mean, the secondary is tied in with the defensive line. You know, the quarterback is tied in with the receivers, so on and so forth, and the offensive line. But, you know, I mean, with what we've done, the expectations, I mean, you know what, Eric, you had us at 9-7 at the end of the year, at the beginning of the year, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think now? Do you think it's going to be 9-7 now?
No, I'm 2 games off. So yeah. You have to add the 2 games. They're going to be 11-5.
Yeah. So, I mean, in 11-5, you know, we did that in 2008 without Tom Brady. And granted, you know, that was kind of an anomaly that we didn't make the playoffs that year. I don't see that happening again. But, you know, I wasn't expecting that. You know, I wasn't expecting us to be as good and to show the resilience that we've had this year. And so I've got to give the team an overall grade of an A-. And the only A- I would say is because Tom Brady has missed a lot of throws that I think he has been at fault for, not necessarily the young receivers. There's been a little bit of that as well, quite a bit of that. But I think that the only reason we go from an A to an A-minus is because Tom Brady, aside from last week, hasn't played like Tom Brady. And hopefully moving forward, if he continues to throw the ball and play the way he played last week, teams are going to be afraid of him.
Well, no question about that. He's got to get receivers to continue to catch the ball like they did last week, too. And that has been a problem early in the year. All right, so then I'm going to guess just from your conversation here, you think this team is a contender right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think teams are looking twice at the New England Patriots right now. I think they kind of left them in the wings, and it was nice because we were kind of quiet. You know, people had kind of turned the page on us because of what we had done and the fact that, you know, we'd lost so many pieces and, oh, as an organization, they made so many mistakes. And, you know, honest to God, it hurt me. It hurt my feelings when we lost Wes Welker. I love that guy to death. You know, the whole Aaron Hernandez situation, I was a big fan of him. And obviously that was, you know, one of those, you know, kind of blindsided blows that you'd never see coming. But to just, you know, I've really kind of resigned myself to the fact that I don't know nearly as much as the front office and the coaches, and I'm just going to sit back and say, you know what, these guys have time and time again done what's best for the team, and it has always come out in a good light. And, you know, though, you know, you can't win a Super Bowl every single year, we have been the most dominant team since 2000, and we consistently win, and it's not a type of thing where, yeah, we're a contender this year, and then for the next 5 years, we're not even going to make the playoffs. It's like the Utah Jazz back when Jerry Sloan and John Stockton and Karl Malone was there. The Utah Jazz in the playoffs were as certain as death and taxes. And it's the same thing with the New England Patriots. And it's just something that I have to just sit back and, you know, in admiration and in awe of the team and the job that these guys do. But, you know, honestly, I think this team is good for, you know, for 13 wins. I really do. And I think that teams are going to start to take a second look at the Patriots, seeing what they can do with Gronk back, seeing the development of these young receivers. And if they continue on that course, we're going to be tough to beat because our defense, like I've said, has made strides. You know, and I think teams are really starting to figure out how to beat the Denver Broncos right now, like they figured out how to beat us in 2012.
I think
we just have to outscore our opponents and not have to worry about defense. Now, granted, they're going to get better too, but I think that we're a sleeper, but I think we're starting to make a little bit of noise too.
I think we're going to have to invite Jefferson into the locker room to give this pep talk to the guys.
Oh, guys, that's what I do for a living, man.
Well, we can tell. Motivational speaker or something here. Wow, he's got me going here.
He's gonna be like Paulie in L.A. You know Paulie in L.A., right?
Yeah.
Who did the Visa commercial with the 49ers last year.
Yes.
Usually a lot more profanity in my pep talks, but, you know, given the fact that we're on radio, I try and censor myself as much as possible.
You're a good man. Thank you for the input today.
Absolutely. I love you guys. You guys do an awesome job. Can't wait to keep listening to you. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks, Jefferson. You got it. Thanks for participating. All right, so there you get a bit of an idea. If you don't want to necessarily break it down as a letter grade, give us your overall thoughts of this team at the midway point. And basically, he gave him the entire team an A-minus, and he says there's no question in his mind it's a contending team. And that's how I wanted you to basically start today. Contender, will be a contender. Won't be a contender.
I certainly think they're a contender, but my grade, I think, is going to, if you do the average, it'll probably be more in the B range, John, overall, because I still think there's room for improvement. And also, there aren't very many, if any, really good teams in the league.
No.
So they're suffering through a lot of things, and they're not a complete team right now yet, but they're still a contender because grading on a curve, the rest of the league is awful.
I totally have to tell you, I think that I would have gone, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I don't think this team will be a contender. I would have said won't be a contender a couple of weeks ago. But now that we've seen Gronkowski back, Amendola back, them stick with Ridley, I feel a lot better about the offense over the last 2 weeks, or maybe I should be more specific. Let's say over the last six quarters of play, you know, take away that first half against Miami, that I think I've seen enough to where I think this team is a contender now. So they've kind of moved all the way up the totem pole in my eyes just because of what I've seen offensively, because, you know, a game and a half ago, this team was not a contending team. And I don't know how they were doing it. In fact, we said as much on this show. How are they doing this?
Doing it? Yeah.
How are they 5-2?
Right.
You know, so it's been a kind of an interesting metamorphosis over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Eldridge in North Carolina. What's up, Eldridge?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
Happy birthday, Kevin. What's up, Eric?
How you doing?
Thanks, Eldridge.
Pretty good.
You want to play along today?
Yeah, I'm going to play along.
All right, let's go. Offensive line. Give us a grade.
B.
C. All right.
All right. Quick.
A B.
Oh, a B. A B.
B.
All right. Uh-huh. Okay.
Wide receivers and tight ends.
Yep.
Even though counting last week's game.
Yep.
Overall, I got to give them a C because last week was the best game I've ever seen them play, you know.
Okay.
Out of nine.
All right.
So I got to give them a C kink on it.
Okay.
All right. Back and running back.
Yep.
Because it's Tom Brady, got to give him an A. And Ridley,
yeah, but sorry, Tom, but Eldridge, you understand Tom has not had a Tom Brady like year.
Well, you can understand why too, right? He like I said, until Brunk came back 100%, just him and Edelman, only one he really know that comes in throwing to. Other guys was new, so you can't really put that on Brady.
Yeah, you can.
In the right spot.
Yeah, you can.
You can.
You can.
He's had a lot of really bad throws, and there have been open guys.
Your A grade is going to skew the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You're grading with your heart, not with your head.
Yeah,
on that one.
See, that's what we want. We want grading with the head, not the heart.
Well, I'm going with that, too. Well,
All right.
I'm sticking my A with Brady now.
All right. Defensive line.
Defensive line?
Yeah.
Got to give him a B for what we lost, and I do love the rookies and Soap for coming in and helping out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We got a good pass. I mean, this one time, first year, I don't see a good pass rush on a consistent basis the last three games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they look weak against the run. But on that pass rush, you know, I like what I'm seeing.
Okay.
You know, and I'm seeing Chandler getting loose. And I hope Carter gets a little bit better. Linebackers, C. Stiff, tall, and can't cover.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm right there with you on the defense so far. How about secondary?
A D without Tlaib.
A D without Tlaib. But we did have Tlaib.
Yeah, he's been there.
He's been there, so we need an overall grade.
C.
All right.
Because he might be covering this man, but sometimes he gets burnt as much as what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
Arrington and Dillard and Cole. I mean, Cole couldn't even tackle a quarterback in 8 yards wide open space.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
You know. Coaching-wise, I'll be scratching my head sometimes. I got to get my A-minus because I got to give him an A.
I'm with you.
Some of them calls, because they do put stuff together a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Special teams, A plus. I love Steven and the rookie punt.
Okay.
The return team, I don't know why they got a 250 guy returning punts anyway. I'll put boys back there just to make them return it with that speed.
Yeah.
I just don't understand that part of it. But with Steven 17 in a row, and I've seen that rookie punt, you know, within the 20, and, you know, if the coverage ain't messing up, he got him pinned down. So I got to get him an A+.
Okay. So you definitely think then, it sounds like, Elders, you think this is a contender right now.
They're a contender. But when they come to North Carolina and Denver, that's going to be the test right there. It ain't going to be Denver. The test's going to be Carolina. Because that defensive front, they're seven, and they got a couple corners.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And with Cam quarterbacking. Because I'm hearing that, man, the Panthers going to strike y'all down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll see once they get here. So they won't be there for that game.
Well, I was going to ask. I would assume that you're there since you live in the area. But I know that we're going to get a complete breakdown on the Panthers from you next week, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yep, we'll make sure.
All right.
But the way the Panthers playing a little bit right now. I mean, that defense is.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one.
Coming on.
It's going to be a tough one.
You got Williams running. And I'm worried about Hightower and Fletcher making a couple good tackles.
Right, right.
I've seen Hightower miss Bale.
Right.
A couple times. So and Williams ain't no joke.
All right. Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah.
All right, Eldridge, good stuff, my man.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it. All right, do we want to try to squeeze in one more? Can we squeeze in one more? If we run it through quickly?
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah.
You okay? You sure? Okay, just checking. Thought I'd check with you first. Patrick in Brooklyn. Hey, Patrick.
How you guys doing?
Awesome. You want to do a little grading?
Yeah, why not?
All right, offensive line, go.
C.
A C, all right. Backs and
backfield.
In backfield. Offensive backfield.
Backfield, I'm going to say B.
B?
Yeah, it's good.
Okay, all receivers right. And tight ends.
I'm going to say C plus.
Okay. You know, so far, you're not far off. No. All right, defense. Let's go with the line.
Gotta give them a decent grade based on what they're working with. I gotta go with a B plus on that line based on everything.
Okay.
Yeah. Not bad.
So far, I think you're pretty accurate. Linebackers.
Okay, that's not a good grade there. I'm going to give them a C minus without Mayo, and me not liking Hightower's coverage and me not feeling good about how Spikes is playing right now. I'm going to go with C minus.
Totally there with you.
Yep. Secondary.
Secondary, I got to give them a good grade. The difference in the defense, if you ask me, the strength of the team now defensively is in those two corners. They can go man to man, and we don't have to worry. This is like the Raiders. We can go man up and not worry about anything. I'm going to give that secondary with McCourty now feeling comfortable in the spot. I got to give that secondary right now. It's the strength of the team. I'm going to give them an A minus.
Wow. Okay. You got the top grade in the secondary right now. So you clearly
giving Jefferson a run for that motivational speaking.
Yeah, I was about
too.
To say.
Very happy with the secondary because Dennett and Tlaib, those two guys, the reason the defense is still surviving in spite of the losses is that those two guys, when you looked at them in man on man situation, Dennett and Tlaib play the football. Those are two good corners. Dennett is a poor man's Ty Law, and the guy Tlaib, I can't tell you who exactly he's like, maybe from former Patriots, but he is impressive in that he's physical, and he's not a burner-type corner because he's not as good with the burner guys, but the big physical receivers, he's a perfect match for those guys.
I like it. I like it. How about special teams?
Special teams, outstanding. Gronkowski, I mean, I'd gotten down on him a year or so ago. Him, and even though I was upset with Bill for getting rid of Mesko, I got to give them an A+.
Okay, yeah. Gostowski's at 17 in a row.
I'm going to go to an A for one reason, because I know if they put Boyce in there, we would have some electrifying kickoffs. It's just that they don't trust Boyce yet, so we've got to still stick with Blunt for now. Not that Blunt is horrible, but with Blunt, you're going to pretty much get an average return at best. And then in other words, on the kickoff return, Bill just wants to break even. On the punt return, he's going to get better than average with Edelman.
Yes.
But everything else in specials, punter, field goal kicker, is just outstanding. Coverage is probably good to almost very good, but the kicking game in terms of the punter and the field goal kicker, they're right on point.
Okay, and then coaching.
Bill Belichick gets one of his best coaching jobs because this is a classic case of him taking chicken something and making chicken salad. So I want to give him, I got to give Bill minimum an A right now. The only time I'm down on him is that he's playing these little mind games with Ridley, because I think what he's trying to say to Ridley is, listen, you are the man, but you're not the man until you carry that lunch pail without dropping it. So I think he's gotten through Ridley, and I think the other day when he put him back in, told you everything. He basically says, hey, I think you got it. That was an unfortunate fumble. I'm not going to even hold it against you, but I think we're now on the same page. I think you're going to see a different Ridley. He's explosive. And Bill Belichick's done an outstanding job with this team. Very, very high on the team and the job he's done. He has been tremendous.
So you clearly feel like this is a contending team then?
Beyond a shadow of a doubt, and I'll tell you something else that I know. Denver is that flashy sports car that can go 100 miles an hour. But let's see how they make out cold, frigid, snow, inclement weather. Peyton Manning is set up for a failure in those conditions, and Belichick knows it. If we should get to him, and we're going to need the elements, if we get to Peyton and it's an element game, we got him. If we get to him and the conditions are pristine, then they got us because they're just going to out-talent us. The receivers are that good. The team, although the defense is not great, it'll be enough to get them over the hump with Peyton. But if the conditions turn sloppy, New England-type weather where we can get our running game going and then we might have the best bad weather quarterback in the game, we got Denver, so I'm not that worried.
All right. You are the man, Patrick. That's good stuff.
Outstanding. And then the last thing I want to leave you with, John, and also I want to say to your buddy Eric. Eric, I hope you and I are on good terms going forward. I really do. I want to leave you with this, and this is on Richie Incognito. I'll be really quick. I believe that a coaching staff telling a player to toughen up a guy or get this guy to man up, I don't think that's anything new. I just think Incognito went way too far. I know Al Davis would purposely tell a guy to start a fight during a training camp or a practice.
That happens a lot in locker rooms,
Buddy Ryan was famous for it. So a lot of these guys, the football culture is that you do things to see. For example, the Jets, they had this defensive lineman who they drafted really early, but the guy was soft, and Rex Ryan told someone to start a fight with him. And they're not doing it in a malicious way. They just want to see, does this guy have it inside of him to really get in the trenches? But Cognito went way too far, and unfortunately for Cognito, it's the racial element that's going to kill him.
Yeah.
Everything else, you might have been able to be okay. The racial element and plus the excessiveness of what he had them paying for, because that seems more like extortion than it does hazing. So I think Cognito's out of line, but I think the coaching staff now, Cognito's got this little tiny window to crawl through because the coaching staff kind of went to him and asked him to do something, except that they went to the wrong guy. You can't go to a guy who's a loose screw like Cognito. All you have to do is interview Vince Wilfork. I'm sure he might have killed Cognito if it was legal.
Probably, and I would tell you that...
battles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and this is also why I think the coaching staff probably is going to have to bear a little bit of the brunt of the blame for what's transpired there in Miami as well. Patrick, thank you for the phone call. All right, one more bit of business to take care of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Is it a one-syllable word since we kept you over in the second hour?
No, but it's two syllables,
actually.
And I was actually thinking about this yesterday for Nitpick Tuesday.
Yeah.
The word of the day today is cavil.
Cavil?
Yes.
C-A-V-A-L?
I-L.
C-A-V-I-L.
Yes. Can be used as a verb or a noun.
Okay.
Cavil.
I know a kid named Cavil. It's spelled it the same way, C-A-V-I-L.
Oh, really?
But it's cavil.
Yes.
Okay.
Cavil is to make minor arguments or petty objections. Basically, nitpicking.
Nitpicking. That's caviling.
Cavil. Caviling, that can be the verb.
For nitpicking.
Right, yeah. And the people who call in on Nitpick Tuesday are cavilers.
They're caviling. They're cavilers.
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 Yeah.
Not cavaliers.
Some of them are cavalier cavilers.
Cavalier cavilers, but yes.
But yeah, cavil is the word of the day.
Cavil, all
How
right.
do you like that?
To cavil. Well, we like to cavil every Tuesday in the playbook. That's exactly what we like
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Yeah. Nitpick Tuesday is all about caviling.
It's all about caviling. Are you in for Game Show Thursday tomorrow?
Better believe it.
All right.
Well, I love Game Show Thursday.
It's going to be a blast. It'll be the first hour of the program tomorrow. We'll talk more about it in a couple of minutes, but Eric will be one of our panelists tomorrow. Kevin will be playing as well. We hope
hopefully
to have
he's sober.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah, because he's got to go to the Irish bar tonight for the Revolution playoff game against Sporting Kansas City.
Viva la Revolution!
Exactly. And we also hope that Russell Baxter's going to play along tomorrow as well as one of our panelists. If not, I'm sure we'll find a guest panelist to fill in his inimitable shoes. Mm. But it'll be a lot of fun tomorrow. It'll be
sure
from
will.
2 to 3 o'clock tomorrow for Game Show Thursday.
Looking forward to it.
See you tomorrow.
All right, bud.
All right, stick around, though. We got more to do. If you haven't had your chance to do the grades, the mid-season report card for your New England Patriots. This team is 7-2 at the break. 9 weeks in. Week 10 is the off week. The bye week this week. Is this team a contender? Or will it be a contender? Or it's not going to be a contender in your mind. One of those three. And if you want to break down the individual grades as we have done, your time is coming up in the playbook.
The word offseason doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest prices on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down. 1-800-MY-SEATS. 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 1-800-MY-SEATS.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson, and you're listening to Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio.
We are well into hour number two inside the playbook for a Wednesday. At this midweek break, at this midweek juncture, at hump day, whatever you want to call it here, on the bye week, this is a time to sort of sit back, reflect, see where this team has come from with a 7-2 start. And frankly, as I mentioned in the opening hour of the program, I'm not sure how they got there, because really you only feel like this offense has proven itself to be anywhere close to where we all thought it would already be before the season started, over the last, what, maybe six quarters of football that they played. I mean, certainly the Pittsburgh game, anytime you throw 55 points up on the board, you'd have to say, yep, that's you're on the right track. And then the second half of the Miami game as well, you know, from falling 14 points down to the Dolphins and coming back to win by 10. So the last six quarters of football have been pretty good, at least for the offense. I think we've discovered that the defense is going to have to be what it is. I'm not sure that it can get appreciably better, although I think it will get certainly incrementally better if Aqib Talib returns to the secondary. You always have to, today's word of the day, actually, instead of cavil, as Eric said, I've called it couch, because you always have to couch your hunches here somewhat, because you just don't know when guys are actually going to be back onto the field until you actually see them back onto the field. But you'd have to say that the defense can be somewhat more improved, at least secondarily speaking, when Talib is able to get back there. I'd like to see Isaac Sopoaga gets more of a routine and gets him more into the rotation at tackle and gets more than 20 to 25 snaps a game defensively. You know, how he might be able to help improve the run defense, because we've seen over the last two games now how the opponents, who have not had strong rushing performances this year, have basically gouged the Patriots for a little rush yardage. So it may very well be that you get back to the Patriot way of old, or at least the Patriot way of the last few years, and you literally must try to outscore the opposition in order to beat the opposition and become a championship contender, which is part of the question that we're asking you here today. Contender now? Will they be a contender before the season's done? Or they won't be a contender at all? Your thoughts, 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500, or the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398. You can send us your email, webradio@patriots.com, @JRBroadcaster on Twitter, John.Rook on Facebook. We've got all the social media in as well. And if you'd like to break down the individual positions and grade along, we want you to do it. Now, ESPN Boston, I know for a lot of you is a website that you follow along, because they do a good job between Mike Reese and Field Yates, the two reporters that cover the Patriots for ESPN Boston. They really break it down perhaps about as well as anybody does, you know, in the digital world. Field joins us now here inside the playbook. And, of course, you guys have already gone through your whole grading issue, which is part of the reason why we wanted to do it today. We found today being basically right at the midway point of the year as being an ideal time to do this, Field. So, overall, is this team, I'll start with you, is this team a contender?
This team is certainly a contender. I think that not just because the records suggest that they are, certainly being 7-2 indicates that they're one of the better teams in the AFC, but I think what you have to always respect about the Patriots is that on a week-in, week-out basis, they are going to be better coached than the team they are going against. They're going to have that advantage. And, of course, the quarterback, Tom Brady, who maybe found his rhythm in Week 9 against the Steelers, he gives this team a chance every single week. But then you look at some of the ancillary factors, the fact that this defense, and I heard your comments about it, probably having a chance to get incrementally better, perhaps not remarkably better, but the defense has been maybe better than some expected it to be before the season began.
Yep.
I think there's just too much talent, 1-53, to not consider the Patriots contenders. And also the fact that down that stretch, down this upcoming stretch, certainly the Carolina game and the Denver game, the following 2 weeks, looks like they could be tough tasks. But I'm not sure the Patriots have a heavy-hitting opponent beyond that to really strike fear into you
sort of in the last five games of the season.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and it will definitely play in their favor as we get down to it. The question is can they continue to stay healthy, or can they, you know, can their health improve from where it is now? Because I think that will be a large factor in, you know, how competitive the Patriots would be as we turn the calendar into January, without a question. Now, I saw the grades that you guys put up on ESPNBoston.com earlier this week. Now, was that all Mike, or did you have input there?
That was Mike's baby, but, you know, I did consult with Mike. He just made sure, hey, do you agree with these? What do you think about this one? Do you think that one's too steep? Or do you think that one's, you know, maybe too low or too high, whatever it was? But, you know, I tend to think that Mike has pulse and steam as well as anybody, or excuse anybody does, in this entire region. So if he's got a B-minus for quarterback Tom Brady, I tend to think there's a very good reason for it. So I tend to align with his views.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to give you, however, a chance to give us your own thoughts on these particular groupings then that we have. Let's start off with offensive line overall. What do you think?
You know, it's funny because my inkling would have been to say, hey, you know something, they're probably a C-plus type performer because of the fact that Patriots, for nine games this year, have given up 26 sacks. Through all of the 2012 regular season, they gave up 27. So
right.
They're going to certainly surpass that total from last year unless they have a historic finish this season. And I think that we've seen Tom Brady on the ground too much throughout parts of this year. And I think the running game has been pretty good. Probably not as good as last year, but I think that overall, every offensive position really you have to consider a downtick in grade compared to last season because the offense until last week hasn't been as good. But
right.
The reason why I say it's funny is because, and we'll have a post on this on ESPN Boston here in the next few minutes, Tom Brady, speaking on the radio earlier today, said that this offensive line is the strength of the Patriots team. And he said, you know, you look at those guys, and he called them a great group. And I don't think that this wasn't one of those softball questions where it led to Brady, hey, how good has the offensive line been? He came to that decision or that proclamation on his own. So while on the outside, we might look at the offensive line play and say, well, it hasn't been that great. Maybe C-plus is a fair grade. Brady seems to think they're holding up their end of the bargain, and I just think the quarterback's got a good grasp of how those guys are playing.
So would you give them a C, C-plus?
I'm going C-plus.
Okay.
So Brady nudged me up just a little bit from the grade that Mike had there.
Yep. Okay. How about the backs, the offensive backfield in particular? That would be running backs, and you're going to have to throw quarterback in there with it.
So throw quarterback and running back in there. So I'm gonna look to the last 4 weeks for Stephen Ridley and also Sunday for Tom Brady and say that it's been about a B. I think that there's, you know, probably that's more of a reflection of Brady. I think the backs have been pretty good for the most part. You know, Brandon Bolden's been a little up and down. The Garrett Blunt kind of is what he is, to borrow a line from Bill Belichick. But Stephen Ridley's been very good. James Brown was outstanding in that week one with the quarterback. Tom Brady, you know, I think he'd be the first person to say that he could play much better than what he did, especially during the first 8 weeks of the season. I think this is all going to go B as my grade. I think the ceiling is as high as an A by the end of the season.
Sure. Okay. And then the receivers, which includes the tight ends, wide receivers, tight ends overall.
Yeah, I might go C plus there as well. I understand that it's a young group, three rookie wide receivers, two are really playing, and then you know, the tight end group with only three games of Rob Gronkowski, but I'm going to look at the entire picture and just sort of play the comparison game to last year, right? That receiving group was as good as any that Tom Brady has probably ever played with, back, wide receivers, and tight ends included. And this year, you know, it's definitely a different personnel group, but, you know, the lack of consistency in terms of catching the football has been disappointing at times. And I think that we saw, especially during the Jets and the Bengals game, two games the Patriots lost, and I'd even lump in the Week 8 win as well, at least the first half against the Dolphins, an inability to get off man coverage. It's been one of the things that sort of hurt this offense when it hasn't been at its best. I think there's certainly room for improvement. And, you know, it's sort of interesting to have these Braves being handed out coming up 55-point explosions.
Yeah.
You know, things could trend very much upward
yeah.
very quickly.
Yeah, I think I've kind of felt that with some of the responses that we've had from some phone calls earlier today. I think everybody's clearly on an uptick here, which sort of, again, kind of clouds the whole picture, which is why we're trying to, you know, think back. But I understand where people are coming from. And, hey, you might as well have your best game be your last game, because that's usually right. How people do judge you. It's fair to say, though, as far as the receivers and tight ends, that the tight ends have improved the overall unit grade overall?
Well, with Gronkowski back in the mix, it certainly has.
Yeah.
It's such a great reminder to see him on Sunday playing the way that he was, that he is, and, you know, this goes without, I would say this goes without argument. He is the best tight end in football. Jimmy Graham is doing some ridiculous things for New Orleans, but I would call him sort of a hybrid tight end wide receiver, given how much he aligns away from the end of the formation, and also the fact that Gronkowski, while it hasn't been perfect in terms of him as a blocker, you know, we know what kind of blocker he's capable of being, whereas Graham probably doesn't have that sort of rugged blocker to him. But, you know, Gronkowski has the ability to affect the game in two ways, and it'll help in a big, big way.
Okay, very good. All right, let's continue. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball and start with the defensive line.
Defensive line, but just the fact that they played without Vince Wilfork and Tommy Kelly for the past five games, you almost want to sort of grade the, you know, the unit on a scale, but mm-hmm. I think, you know, probably a B is fair, just because of the fact that, listen, injuries happen to everybody, and it's not our job to, you know, to survey injuries around the league. You know, we take stock of them, and, you know, Chris Jones, Joe Milano, great story. They played one of their tails off, and probably so few had expectations of them being this kind of impact player, but you take into account their sort of sturdy effort, but if you're not stellar, but 30, Chris Jones has been a nice interior pass rushing presence. And then probably the best player for them has obviously been, you know, Chandler Jones, 6.5 sacks. I think he's already up to maybe even 8.5 sacks after his last game. And the fact that he's been really that difference maker for them, they hoped he would be in the second year, that makes up for it. And then the numbers aren't quite where they were last year for Rob Ninkovich. He has been, as usual, his dependable self. So I think the beat in terms of life is fair grade.
Yeah, I think you're pretty much, you guys are spot on that one. Linebackers.
Linebackers, I'm going to go a little down to the linebackers. Probably a C-plus. And being without Gerard Mayo has hurt, obviously. He is an outstanding linebacker who plays so much for the Patriots and always plays so well. But really what it comes down to, for Dante Hightower and Brandon Price, the reason why I'm going to give him a downward tick is that, you know, the lack of consistent pass coverage from those two is somewhat noted game in and game out. And I know the Patriots put an emphasis on bigger linebackers who can play that typical rugged downhill style, but when you're going up against that, who can stretch you vertically in the passing game, the underneath routes, and you can't keep up with them, mm-hmm. if they're taking a, you know, 2 or 4 yard pass, at least in the line of scrimmage, and turning it into an 8 to 12 yard game to move the chain, that right there is tough to see on a consistent basis. What do the linebackers with people?
Yeah, I think that I've seen some improvement in terms of coverage for some of the guys who have struggled with it, but it's still incomplete. There's a little bit of an upward curve there, so I kind of feel like you guys. I think I went with a C on the linebackers overall. You'd like to see better. It might have been a little bit better graded. Mayo had been able to stay healthy. How about the secondary?
Secondary, I'm going to go high. This may be, for me, you know, the best group of the team. So I'm going A-minus, or probably A-minus, because they've had a couple of games where they probably let up more, you know, the game against Pittsburgh, and to be fair, they are up by so much, so it's hard to really, sometimes those stats can be skewed, but the secondary group's been outstanding. Losing Steve Gregory hurts, obviously, depending on how many games he will actually miss. You know, he believes it's hurt to play without him, but this group was, as I would say, I don't know if the word is vilified or criticized as much as any last season, but I think that they can not only be a dependable group, but really maybe even a strength of the defense. There's so much about the personnel, the coaching staff. Josh Boyer, Brian Flores doing a great job with them. Of course, Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia prominently involved in the defense as well. This group, led by safety Devin McCourty, has been, to me, maybe the most encouraging position group on the entire team. I'll give them an A-.
Special teams, when you consider what Steven Gostkowski has been, you know, what he has meant to this team with the 17 straight kicks that he's completed. You know, he's been the difference in some games, especially early in the year for this team. Ryan Allen certainly hasn't embarrassed himself as far as the punter's concerned. You know, and in fact, he does seem to be slowly improving as the year goes along. You might have some issues with the kick return game, but overall, I thought pretty solid.
I think pretty solid as well. And if it weren't for the kick return game, it'd probably be even higher. So I have a B plus. I think that, you know, one player probably didn't mention yet is Julian Edelman has been outstanding as a punt returner. You know, by the numbers, he is the greatest punt returner in NFL history in terms of average yards per return. And
right.
I know Devin Hester is outstanding in Chicago, but I put Julian Edelman up against any punt returner in the league right now.
He's
exceptional. Ryan Allen's been very good, and, you know, it's tough to see Zoltan Mexico out of the league right now, but it looks like the Patriots really made the right choice on keeping Allen over Mexico. Gostkowski, who, another player during the preseason, got some criticism on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots stuck with him. He has been simply remarkable, not just on field goals, but also kickoffs. So, Fish Plus, the only area where they can be better in, is getting, you know, more out of the kick return game, and then the coverage units haven't been great over the past 2 weeks.
And then coaching overall, what do you think?
I tell you what, you probably can make this case for almost any year, but this may be Bill Belichick's best coaching job yet, right? Or at least his collective staff. Don't let the assistants go unnoticed.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because you think about all the turnover they've had to deal with, and all the factors that we all know existed during the offseason, you know, related to the tight end group and players leaving free agency and dealing with injuries, how battered and bruised they've been so far through 9 games. This may be the finest hour for Bill Belichick, at least through 9 games. He's been just remarkable. The entire staff, Matt Patricia, Josh McDaniels, all the assistants, we can list each one of them right now and say they deserve praise. A really an A-minus job. You know, I guess, you know, the only reason why it wouldn't be an A-plus or an A is because they have lost 2 games. If they were 9-0, I'd be, you know, reversing my sentiment and throw a plus as opposed to a minus.
Wow, you're tough. Professor Yates, you're very tough.
Yeah, you know. Gotta make sure these guys, you know, I don't want them to, I don't want anybody to get content. You know, throwing out 8 pluses, only 9 games into the season. I don't want anybody to sort of cruise the last 7 games.
What do you think, field overall, what do you think this team is going to face its greatest challenge in the second half?
Specific to a game or just in general?
It could be either one, because frankly, I think it's going to be in general more so than a specific game.
Yeah, I think it'll be in general as well, and I think they will actually be defensively, you know, have they figured out the run defense issues, because it hasn't been great since Vince Wilfork and Jerron Mayo both went down. That's to be expected, but more than anything, I think the biggest thing I think they need to figure out or get back, you know, that they need to have answered is, you know, can they get Aqib Talib back in the secondary? And can they avoid other critical injuries?
Yeah.
Because, listen, everybody deals with them. They said that off the top. But the Patriots, I mean, it's just remarkable. Them, what they've been through, the Packers have been through, you know, that's hard to imagine a single season. And if they can stay healthy, relatively healthy the rest of the way in terms of not losing any more players to injured reserve, you know, it's a chance to come out of the AFC. But if Talib can't come back sometime soon, or if he ends up missing more time down the stretch, same thing for Shane Vereen, any other injuries that haven't occurred yet, the team is going to have a big hill to climb over. But I have to be impressed with the way the Patriots have hung in there based on how many battered and bruised players they already have on the roster.
What's the official count on players gone on IR is what, 8?
I think it's up to 8 now. I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? 8 players in a full season is a lot. 8 players in just over half a season, that's, you know, quite a bit.
That's extraordinary, and that's why I think that in a general sense, the key to the second half is health and staying relatively healthy, because if they can keep from losing other players for a significant amount of time, I do think that this team is championship worthy, championship contention, and should be right there in the mix for the AFC title. If they suffer or they don't get anybody back and they suffer further injuries, I think that's what will probably keep them from a potential appearance in a title game.
Yeah, that could be tough, and, you know, it's going to be an interesting AFC because I think we can sort of zone in on 4 or 5 teams as the top contenders in the AFC. Certainly, Patriots, the Broncos, the Chiefs, the Colts, and then the Bengals, depending on how you feel on Andy Dalton and, you know, the loss of Geno Atkins. They
By record alone, they deserve to be in the conversation. But if you're not a Dolphin supporter or enthusiast, you might feel like they aren't a real contender. So I think the AFC is definitely wide open. And the Patriots, given the fact that they're 7-2 right now, coach, the quarterback, the entire roster, 1-53, despite all the injuries, this team will very much be in the mix come January.
If the playoffs were to begin next week, the Patriots would stand as the 2 seed. Do you feel like that's the most likely spot that they should be shooting for?
No, I think there's definitely reason for them to believe that they could, I wind up with that top seed. I think it really comes down to what they can do over the next 2 weeks. If they can win on the road at Carolina Monday night, it's not going to be an easy game, and then come back on a short week and beat the Broncos at home on Sunday Night Football, this team will have the driver's seat towards the 1 seed. I know the Chiefs obviously have a better record and could be undefeated or just one loss at that point, but I get the sense that Kansas City will come back down to earth a little bit. And I think they'll still win, safely, probably 12 games, but 12-4 or 13-3 would surprise me end result for Kansas City, which means the Patriots, if they finish strong and really win all the games they should win, and then play competitive and possibly upend one of the teams in the closer games, then they have a shot at the 1 seed.
Field, great stuff. Thanks for spending a little time with us today. Thanks for sharing your grades, and look forward to visiting with you again soon. Are you going to get any time off this week?
I'm going to try to. I'm thinking about sneaking away. I want to go somewhere warm, but that's not in the budget, not in the time frame either. So
I was about to say, Mickey Mouse might be paying you too well if you can sneak away for warmth.
no trips out of the out of the state for me this week, but maybe a couple days resting on the couch and watching some college football, which I haven't done enough of yet this year.
Attaboy. That's exactly my dose for the weekend. I agree with you. Thanks, Phil. I'll see you soon, pal.
All right. Take care.
You got it. That's Phil Yates, who covers the Patriots, along with Mike Reese, so well for ESPNBoston.com. And we wanted to get somebody who covers the team locally to give their perspective on the whole midseason grade that we've asked you to go through today. And now I'm going to get to some emails. First of all, a couple of other social issues here. Kevin, Mary Beth sends her birthday wishes to you. It says, it's Kevin's birthday. She says, it's Kevin's birthday. No, I highly doubt he will stay sober tonight in an Irish bar.
Absolutely not. You're right. Irish Catholic kid in an Irish bar.
By the way, I should mention, Kevin does have his United Healthcare Revolution jersey on.
Ready to go.
He's fired up.
On the bandwagon.
He is on the bandwagon, fired up, and ready to go.
You can't beat him, join him. Once they're in, you gotta root for him to go the whole way.
Woo! Oh, love it. Absolutely good stuff. All right, let's see what else we got here. Let's get to some of the emails. Josh from Stratford, Connecticut again. Just wanted to say, I think you always have to put the Patriots in the contender category simply on the fact that Bill and Brady are a deadly combo. As we can see, Brady makes rookies look like they are great. I think Brady gets another ring before he retires. Would love to see him take out Peyton on the way up this year. Love the show. Thanks for being the best football radio out there. Appreciate that, Josh. Thank you very much. Frankly, I think speaking to the whole issue of Brady getting another ring, because I know that's so many fans have asked me this, and I know many of you have your own thoughts on Brady and his legacy and how many championships should he win. And you got to realize, obviously, it's very, very difficult to win championships, but that's what these guys are in the game for, to win championships. I initially thought, especially back after the 04 season when the Patriots won their third in 4 years, that one for the thumb or winning five would not be out of the question. When you consider that the Patriots have lost their last two Super Bowl appearances, so they've been 5 times with Brady as quarterback, they're 3-2 now. Winning a fourth one still will probably prove to be difficult. But I'm beginning to think, and I don't want to, as I just talked about with Field Yates here, you don't want to completely gloss everything over based on 155-point performance against a really pathetic Pittsburgh defense this last week. However, I do think that the Patriots stamped themselves as a contender in the AFC based on their ability to put up that kind of points, or those kind of that kind of offense, 610 yards, 55 points on a traditionally solid team, contending team. Now, Pittsburgh's down this year. But as Field just pointed out, who are the contenders in the AFC right now? Certainly Cincinnati, and they own a win over the Patriots. Kansas City, Denver, who you're going to face, right? And then you're probably looking at Indianapolis out of the South. So does anybody scare you? And the answer to that is no. No, you know, I don't even think anybody scares you or concerns you as much as maybe Baltimore did last year when they were in here for the AFC Championship game. And that's kind of my thought. I don't know that we really can get a grasp on what Kansas City's all about until we see them face Denver at least once, and that's going to come up in a couple of weeks, and then they'll turn around and get them again a couple of weeks later. So that issue will definitely play itself out. If the Patriots hold the line, so to speak, and stay at the top of the AFC East, which may or may not be an easy thing to do. You know, it depends on how Miami reacts to all the emotional stuff that they've got going on right now. And the Jets certainly believe. The Jets believe they own a win over the Patriots, and they're 5-4. And they're 5-4 at the bye week this week themselves. The Jets, by all rhyme and reason, have every reason to think that they're still in the thick of things. And they are. They are. So, I mean, right now, I think if you look at the playoffs, I think they squeeze in at the sixth seed, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Jets squeeze in as the sixth right now. So, and again, I'm not looking at the standings physically, but I believe that they're in there. So at any rate, the Jets, you have to throw them in there as a distinct possibility. Joel from Connecticut. John, longtime listener, first time emailer on your show, at least. I want to propose a question. Eric unfortunately isn't here, but he says, give you my grades. He says, why do the Panthers scare you so much that you don't even think we can beat them? Who in the team do you think will give us unbearable problems? Let's remember that the backfield isn't even really set. They don't even know who their starting running back is. No one on that team, offense or defense, scares me. I don't see any reason to fear a team we beat for our second Super Bowl trophy. So who scares you and why? Well, the fact that you beat them for your second Super Bowl trophy was 10 years ago really has no bearing on what will transpire in another 12 days. So we'll save this for next week then, Joel, because quite frankly, we're a week away from really breaking down the Panthers. So I'm going to save it for a little bit. Secondly, my grades. Offense, I give a B- overall because of the inconsistent play, the subpar protection Brady was getting, and of course drops and bad throws. Defense, I'm going to give a B+. Because of Tlaib and his play, also their ability to adjust most of the time to different offenses and make plays. Let's not forget the fumble in the Cincy game that gave us yet another opportunity to at least tie the game. True. Special teams, I give an A-. It's hard to grade this because unless a big play happens, no one pays much attention to it. But there have been no punt or kickoff returns for touchdowns against us. Generally, Edelman does a great job. Why does nobody give Steven Gostkowski any credit? I had to bring that up before anybody even remembered it. To me, I think that's the greatest thing that's going on right now with this team is the consistency at an extremely high level that Steven Gostkowski has brought this team. 17 straight field goals. He is certainly within earshot of Adam Vinatieri's franchise record for consecutive field goals. I think it was 23. Does that sound right, Kevin? It's 23 or 24, I think, is what Adam hit in a row. I don't think there's any question that that Gostkowski can get to that at some point this year. But I think it just goes to show you how much he's taken for granted by people around here because nobody's mentioned him until I brought him up. Chris says, with all the injuries all over the place, why haven't or could we soon see the Patriots call up Nick McDonald? Well, I think you'll probably see that, Chris, if another injury occurs on the offensive line. But until that point in time, they're probably feeling fairly safe with keeping him where he is on the practice squad. All right, our friend Howard in Stratford, Connecticut, who traditionally chips in with his 2 cents worth on things like we're going through today with grades. And so we're going to get to Howard's email. Even after the blowout against the Steelers, I personally need to see more consistency across the board before I can say they are a legitimate contender. So Howard's actually the first person that has voted not yet a contender, so to speak. Everybody else we've asked the question has said, oh, yeah, they're a contender, they're a contender. Howard's the first one to sort of couch that and say, well, they can be a contender. Offensive line, it has been horrible this year in protecting the quarterback, so he gives them a D.
Wow.
Okay. A D. Not an F because they've had some bright spots, but those were rare. Quarterback. He says new wide receivers, no pass catching tight ends. They have Brady looking bad. He's got a C. Strongest group of the O, even without Vereen, the running back, B plus. So I'm going to combine those two and I'm going to give you a B minus for the backs and receivers. Then wide receivers, tight ends. On the Mendola, rookies, Gronk injured, looking better with Gronk bank, but he gives a C. And he gives the receivers with Brady a C, so wide receivers and tight ends get a C. All right, defensive line. Injuries to Wilfork and Kelly, who are replaced by rookies, has hurt production. He gives them a C, but they're getting better as they gain experience. I don't know that I think you really have to watch that a little bit more closely, Howard. I'm really impressed with what Joe Villano and Chris Jones, again, when you consider they're undrafted rookie free agents. They're not even drafted. And yes, while teams are beginning to are running on them somewhat, they're very resilient. They're very active. They're mobile. They're pushing the pile. They're getting pressure on the quarterback. He's going to give him a C. I think we gave him a B to a B plus. Linebackers, loss of Mayo hurts, but still doing a good job overall. He gives them a B. And then defensive backs, surprisingly a strong group. Arrington still, in my honest opinion, the weak link, but Tlaib is a star. He goes B+. Okay? Coaching. Matt Patricia is finally starting to use more pressure, but I can't really argue with the early part of the season when they were one of the top Ds from a points allowed perspective. So he goes B+ to A-. Well, you're going to have to get off the fence there. I'm going to give you, since B+ was the first one you mentioned, that's the grade you get. And then he says, McDaniels can be frustrating at times with his play calling. Needs to develop better screens, more pass plays in the center of the field when it's third and short versus going for the deep ball the majority of the time. Now, obviously, I agree with that 110% and have completely and totally, in fact, once or twice been apoplectic almost on third and two, third and three, and going for the deep sideline route to Aaron Dobson. I mean, what are we thinking? What happened to trying to find Julian Edelman? Now that you got Gronkowski back, and now that, Danny Amendola is better. I mean, what happened to that role that Wes Welker made famous for this team? And now that you got both Edelman and Amendola who could fulfill that role, that's the one play call that totally and completely blows me away. And I can only tell you that trying to think like Josh McDaniels might, that the middle of the field gets clogged on those third and shorts, so they feel like there's an opportunity on the sideline to get a big play. And I'm telling you, I'm not so sure that's the case. But good stuff anyway, Howard. Thank you. Here's Canadian Mike in Florida who says, my grades are as follows with the notes. Wide receiver C for now, but trending to a B and potential for an A. Health is the determining factor. Running back B, potential for an A with the addition of Vereen again. Offensive line, C, Vollmer's loss hurts, but talent says we should at least be a B. Defensive line, C+. Obviously, Wilfork and Kelly losses are huge, so we may have hit the ceiling on that one. Yeah, but I would say that I do think that this defensive line has a tendency to play itself back into shape to the point where I think that a grade of B for even the young guys is possible. And I think for a couple of rookie free agents, I think that's an extraordinary grade, by the way. I mentioned it yesterday. You may know that Chris Jones leads all NFL rookies in sacks. Just saying. Secondary, he says C+. Healthy's Tlaib makes this a B or a B+. A huge jump from last year. The numbers back that up. That is true. That is definitely true. All right, let me make sure I got all your grades down here. I want to make sure that I don't forget anything. The defensive line, he's got a C+. Offensive line, he's got the C. You got the running back and the wide receivers, the backs. I think you went with a B. Yep, you did. Wide receivers and tight ends, you went with C for now. Potential for, all right, let's go with a C. All right, there you go. Secondary, he mentioned coaching. A, with all the injuries, they have done an amazing job. That roughly rounds out to a C+, trending to a B or a B+ in the end, which is more than enough to be a legit contender in the end. But at present, I would say we're just almost contenders. All right, so that's two votes in a row for maybe contenders, working their way into contenders, but not contenders yet. The wild card, he says, is Brady, who gets a C, but a potential to be an A-plus in the end. All right. Interesting grades, Mike. Thank you for the the good words here. Robin in Alaska says, I believe the Patriots are a contender, but I also believe the Patriots have a long way to go. I think their biggest obstacle is consistency, followed closely by health. A team will struggle to do anything when they can't even stay competitive from quarter to quarter, let alone game to game. That goes for the entire team's performance, too, not just the offensive woes that are so well documented. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's actually pretty pretty much right on. Team is going to struggle to do anything when they can't stay competitive from quarter to quarter. But the entire performance does deserve to be measured over the long haul. Steven, I'm not sure where he is, just loves the show. Thank you to both John and Eric. Happy birthday, Kevin. There you go. Hope that the Revs win just for you. Also hope to have a great day. John, I think the Patriots are a contender. Offensive grades, O-line gets a C+. All right, got that down. Running backs, he gives them a B+. Okay. Wide receivers / tight ends, he's giving a C-. On the defensive line, he's going B+ for the D-line. He's going linebackers for a B-. The secondary gets an A-, like our friends at ESPN Boston gave them today. The coaching gets an A+. How about that? Doesn't get much better than that, right? Special teams get a B- overall. Okay. Special teams get a B-. Thank you, Stephen, for that. Appreciate that. I think I've got a couple of others here that I wanted to share, and I'm looking on. Nope, that's it. Okay. Excellent. Kev, let's do this. Let's take a short break and let me tally up the score. And then what we'll do is we'll come back with our official Patriots playbook mid-season grades. You want to tune in for this, and then we'll also tweet that information out coming up right here in the playbook.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards Credit Card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Couple of minutes left to the program here before we wrap it up. On a hump day Wednesday, I will start off by saying you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. I know it's a bye week. You might want to get away and do your own little thing, like Field Yates from ESPN Boston was telling us he's going to try to get away. I'm going to try to get away and watch a little college football this weekend myself for the first time in a long time, it seems like. But tomorrow's show, we're going to have fun. You know, when we do the show open, and, our good friend, Rob Schuler says, and all the fun stuff in between.
Yeah. Russell is confirmed, by the way.
He's going to play with
us
tomorrow.
He's going to be on the horn as of 2:10, 2:15 to be a panelist.
Sweet. That's fantastic. All right. So you don't want to miss it. Tomorrow afternoon between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern time.
Me, you, Eric, and Russell.
Yes.
Force Company.
So we have four people in here. We have our three all-star panelists. In Kevin, our producer.
You're the host, of course. You're like the Bob Barker.
I am the
radio.
Bob Barker / Wink Martindale / Peter Marshall, Gene Rayburn. Let's name some great show talk some game show hosts. Alex Trebek of Patriots.com Radio. Tomorrow's going to be Game Show Thursday, kids, and we always traditionally do this during the bye week.
Suck it, Trebek.
Yes, exactly. How could Alex Trebek be so mean to a kid and take all that money away from him this
Suck
year? I don't understand
Trebek.
That. At any rate, so tomorrow it'll be 2:00 live Eastern time here in the playbook until 3 or thereabouts. What we need you to do for tomorrow is if you'd like to play, we've got two preliminary rounds we're going to try to play tomorrow. So that means we need four contestants. And then the two champions will face off against each other. If you win one of the preliminary rounds, you will win a Patriots yearbook tomorrow. Okay, we will give away one of the yearbook / media guides that we always give away on Prediction Thursday for a correct score. Now, we didn't have any last week with the 55-31 score, as you might imagine, but we gave away four, counting myself, five the week before in the 27-17 game with the Dolphins. So we're going to give away at least two yearbooks tomorrow to our preliminary round winners. And then when the two preliminary round winners square off in the championship final, at stake will be a one-year free subscription to Patriots Football Weekly. I just don't know how it could get better than that. But that will be tomorrow's program, and you got to be on the air with us live between 2 and 3 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow. So all you have to do is when we give you the signal, when we sign on tomorrow afternoon, we'll give you the signal. You can call the 855-PATS-500 number, say you want to play, and we've got a great game show, and our judges will be the judge of whether or not you are worthy. So that'll be tomorrow, and I hope that you can be with us tomorrow as well. And then, of course, we'll get into our regular Thursday stuff and preview Week 10 of the NFL with Russell in the second hour of the program tomorrow. So that's coming up tomorrow. All right, as far as our grades are concerned, The official Patriots playbook midseason grades for your New England Patriots, who stand at 7-2 at the bye week at the relative midway portion of the 2013 football season. Offensive line, the collective grade is a C+. Not only with our thoughts here between myself and Eric and Field Yates from ESPN Boston, but also our callers and our emails have had their grades tallied, and we average out to about a C+ for the offensive line. The backs, the offensive backfield, which includes the running backs and the quarterback. While I think most everyone is reluctant to give Tom Brady a relatively poor grade, even though he has not been very Brady-like this year, I think there are some excuses that stand out. And a lot of that has to do with the inexperience at the wide receiver that I think most people are willing to sort of look the other way on. Fact of the matter is that we spent a good portion of the first half of the season talking about some of the things that are behind Brady's inaccuracy. And it doesn't really have, it has some to do with the drops, but it has a lot to do with some other things as well. Poor offensive line play is one, and the fact that it's wear and tear on a 36-year-old arm and body. That's also part of it as well. You know, he's had the hand problem, although it certainly didn't look like it was bad this last week, did it? When you throw for more than four bills. Overall, the backs, the offensive backfield gets a grade of B, a combined grade of B. The best grade was an A. The lowest grade were a couple of B minuses in there. So the backs get a B. The wide receivers and tight ends, a C. Lowest grade was a C-. Highest grade was a B-. Actually, it's pretty consistent with all of the votes in here between wide receiver and tight end. Largely incomplete because Gronkowski has come back so late, but they can see some improvement with the Wookiees. So because they seem to be, because they seem to be getting better, the grade is a C. Now, on the defensive side of the ball, and I think it's kind of interesting to note that there's two C's and a B as our grades for the offensive groupings. On the defensive side of the ball, two B's and a C. Defensive line rates a B overall, with a high grade of an A minus, a low grade of a C. The linebackers get a combined grade of C, with a high grade of B, a low grade of C minus. And then the secondary, defensive backs, if you will, they get a combined grade of B with a high grade of A minus and a low grade of C. Special teams, the combined grade is a B plus for special teams. High grade of A plus given a couple of times and a low grade of B minus. And then the coaching, this got the best grade of all. The coaching gets a grade of A minus at the midseason point, with a high grade of A+, a low grade of B+. That was the lowest grade the coaching staff received overall. I think you have to throw in the coordinators and the position coaches as well as the head coach, who, as we've talked about, may be doing his best job ever as head coach of the Patriots when he considers some of the injuries that they've had to fight through this season in order to get to where they are right now at 7-2 at the midway point. So there you go. O-line gets a C+. Backs get a B. Wide receivers, tight ends get a C. D-line gets a B. Linebackers get a C. Secondary gets a B. Special teams get a B+. Coach gets an A-. And the team is 7-2. And they are in first place by two games in the AFC East at the break. Does that seem overall, when you consider it in a general sense, like it's a low grade for the fact that the team is 7-2? I would say yes, and I think it's because the expectations are naturally higher overall in New England, amongst fans, amongst media, and amongst even the players and coaches themselves. High expectations. So it's probably a little bit tougher grading when you consider where the team's record is thus far. All right, thanks for taking part in this today, this completely unofficial and unscientific poll, but I'll tweet the results out as well, so make sure you follow at JR Broadcaster in case you missed any of this, and hopefully you're listening on the podcast and you agree or disagree, and feel free, by the way, to, you know, either send a tweet or a Facebook post or even an email to the web radio account with your own grades if you're listening to this on the podcast, so we can get a look at them, because perspective is always good as we undertake covering this football team for you. Don't forget, game show Thursday tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern Time live. Russell Baxter will be a part of our panel, and then we get into week 10 around the NFL in hour number two. Thanks, Kevin, and happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Mom brought you cookies.
Yeah, and they were awesome.
They were very good.
Thank you, Mom.
Please thank Mrs. Collins.
I will.
Same patch time, same patch channel. Game show tomorrow, kids. We'll have some fun.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf,
CBS analyst. Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2. Yeah.